Hey, this is Red Band with Death Squad Studios. You are listening to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. If you want to subscribe to this podcast and all the podcasts that we do here at Death Squad on iTunes, you just open it up and search the iTunes store under Death Squad, and then you subscribe to it, and you'll get all the newest episodes downloaded immediately. You could also listen to us on Stitcher. Stitcher is an application you can download on your mobile phone and kind of stream podcasts to your phone. Just search for Death Squad on there, and it's available on all your favorite mobile phone applications like Android and iPhone, all that stuff. And don't forget DeathSquad.tv, where you can watch all the video components to each one of these podcasts. You also get all the links to all the guests, and you could also donate. There's a button on the top and on the right. Any donations that we get will go right towards the show, and the more donations we get, the better the show gets, the better the guests get, and we thank you very much for everyone that's already donated. We appreciate it like crazy. And now here's Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Yeah, you just need to talk into the microphone.
Oh.
I don't know what you're doing over there.
I can hear myself fine. What do you mean?
Yeah.
All right, how's that?
That's awful.
That's awful?
Yeah. I don't know what you're doing.
You want me to talk like this?
Yeah, into the mic. Into the microphone. Into the microphone, Ari.
Let's just. I don't want it on my mouth.
No, well, you actually have to have it like, somewhat near you and facing you.
Okay, how's that? That's about as close as I'm gonna get.
Two.
All right,
horrible beginning. And maybe we could edit that out. Welcome to the Skeptic Tank, everyone. This is the third episode where we just try to find out about different people and different things. And so today, we're gonna try to find out what it's like to grow up super rich, like our guest Benji Aflalo, and our friend Tony Hinchcliffe is here too, because he knows more about it, and he's formed sort of an opposite lifestyle, white trash Ohio lifestyle.
Hey,
yep.
Where'd you grow up?
Youngstown, Ohio.
Youngstown, Ohio, which is like
it's an absolute ghetto
compared to Columbus, Brian. What do they think about Youngstown, Ohio?
Yeah, it's way different. It's ghetto. It's okay. Other side of the railroad tracks.
Like white ghetto.
Mafia town, too.
Youngstown. One of the worst crime rates out of any city in the country.
Yeah. Oh. A lot of gangs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Used to be run by the Italian mafia. Now it's run by what they call black people.
The mafia left. They brought the crack in and then just... Okay, anyway. So, Benji, you grew up in Beverly Hills.
Mostly Beverly Hills, sometimes Malibu. I bounced around a lot.
I think what people want to know sort of is like, what was that like? Give us a quick rundown.
Okay, firstly, you make it sound like I'm super rich. I'm not. My family, we don't own yachts.
There are differences. Yeah, I was going to get to that eventually. There are differences between the rich and the super rich.
We've chartered yachts, but that's it. We don't own one.
Chartered a yacht? What does that mean to charter a yacht? Rent?
Sort of, yeah. It's like renting for a week, but you get a crew and yeah.
Oh, wow. For long. Is there ever any like thought or fear of them taking over, sort of staging it? What do you call it when it's a coup on the open?
Pirates?
No.
Mutiny.
That there'd be a mutiny.
No. These people they're cool. Like the crew on a yacht.
Uh-huh.
They're happy to be there. You'll have a chef happy to be there. Oh, what a better way to travel on a boat to see the world than your
first
cooking.
Class of the seas.
Yeah, and then
it's like
you'll
charting a plane.
You'll have like a captain and an engineer and a housekeeper, and that's usually, and then maybe like a first mate. Is that what they call it? That's just kind of like the bitch dude who just does shit.
How long does a trip like that last?
A yacht trip? It depends. You know, some people can go. It depends how rich you are.
How long was your yacht trip?
We've done two. One was a disaster. The first one was great, and that was about 10 days, I think.
Okay.
It was in New England. It was really nice. Went to like Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard.
Wow. Okay. And now, by the way, last night there was a huge tsunami in Japan, killing thousands of people. So how was the second one a disaster?
I just got to say this. I'm allergic to these cats. I might be sneezing and stuff.
He's away. Very good. You did it.
All right. The second was a disaster because we are Jews, so I think my parents were looking for like a good deal on a yacht, and then they found one, but we were going to go to the Greek Isles.
Yeah.
And so they should have really checked out the yacht because the brochure made it look like this yacht was going to have like a gym and TVs and a great crew and the da-da-da-da. So we get on the yacht, and like at first we're like, this is kind of old and shitty, this yacht.
Yeah.
And then
you're trying to justify in your brain at this point, like, no,
we're like, it's gonna be okay, yeah. You know, we're gonna just go island jumping, and we're not even gonna really be on the boat, da 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 da. We get to know the crew, they suck, like the food is gross, it's like gnarly Greek European cook, like the kitchen looked dirty, they gave us like stale food, and my parent, like my siblings are spoiled, my dad, like they like a nice quality of thing,
yeah.
Of life.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a disaster. But the real disaster, that was bad. And the gym was definitely not a good gym.
There was a gym on the
But ice. It was supposed to be a gym. It was like a really old stationary bike. And that was it. And the TVs didn't work. It was awful. And
the Bluetooth was awful.
And so, this was a few years ago. It was a disaster. Okay. So the idea of...
We had TVs on planes a few years ago. Go ahead. So you took a boat, a yacht, from Los Angeles Harbor?
No. We flew into Greece, and then we took off from Athens.
Okay.
And then you go from island to island, you spend a day on an island, then you go somewhere else. But what happened was we got really bad weather, and we got stuck on an island for the whole time, and the whole family just, like, broke down. I cried.
Why did you cry? Because you had to talk to each other?
No, well, we got stuck on an island called Mykonos. Mykonos is the gayest island. It's a beautiful island to go see if you're there for like a night, but if you're not...
the homosexuals.
It's a very homosexual island. That's what I've heard. So we're there for like a night. We're like, oh, cool, Mykonos is great. Time to move on to the next island. We wake up the next day, they're like, sorry, we have really bad weather. We can't go anywhere, blah, blah, blah. We're just going to have to stay another day. So we're like, okay, another day in Mykonos, make the most of it. We got like ATVs that day, da da. Uh-huh. Again, next day,
But really bad weather, but you could go out on the ATVs and stuff? Like, what kind of bad weather was it?
Bad wind, like, water weather. Choppy. So we got stuck there, and then there's one, we're there, stuck there a few days, we're hating Mykonos. Like, Mykonos is a curse word in my family now.
Do you think that you didn't have bad weather, but the crew didn't really want to do any work?
No, you see, one day they're like, fuck it, we got to get out of Mykonos. And then we wake up at like 5:30 in the morning as they're trying to go, and the boat is just like, glasses are falling over, cabinets are opening up, and they're like, sorry, we had to turn around, we're going back to Mykonos, and the whole family broke down, we had to end the trip early. My dad fired me, I cried.
Your dad fired you?
That trip, he fired me.
From being his son?
Yeah, what do you mean?
No, I was working for him, and then we were all just having, like, my dad was freaking out, everyone's fighting because the trip's going so terrible, and I was like, hey, dad, maybe we should just, like, get on a plane and, like, try to finish the trip somewhere else. And then, like, because I'm his, like, little shit son.
Yeah.
On a yacht trip, he just freaked out on me and fired me.
Fired you? For what grounds?
Wow.
I'm mad at you right now?
For giving my advice. Everyone was... He then took Valium and apologized to me, like, an hour later.
Although, you know what? If you're going to hire someone just based on being cool with you, like, yeah, he's my son, it's cool, I'll give him a job, then you couldn't fire him. You could definitely fire him for just being not cool.
And I cried. I was like, I'm going back to New York. I was right out of liberal arts college. I was not ready for, like, an angry Moroccan.
What college did you go to?
Marymount, Manhattan.
What was your campus job when
I never had a job in college. I know the whole thing is like, oh, I'm a rich kid and I'm spoiled.
No.
I didn't get spoiled until college, really.
Okay. Here's my question. Were you aware of your wealth growing up? Like, were you aware that you were a rich kid? You were.
I was, yeah.
But you went to school at where? Beverly Hills High?
But I was still, like, the rich kid, yeah.
You were the richer than the average of the...
I knew when I was really young. I knew when I was, like, 7.
Well, I went to Jewish day school in Maryland, and when I pulled into the... lot with my Datsun 200SX, like an old used one that I got for like $700. The cars that were in there, I was a little embarrassed with the Mercedeses and the new Suburbans and somebody got a Saab for their birthday, but they were pissed at their dad because they didn't have a sunroof for their 16th birthday. So there was like a split between the rich and the upper middle class.
At Beverly High?
Yeah, was there like that there?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some rich kids. Actually, most of Beverly High isn't really that rich. If you're rich, you go to private school in LA.
Hmm. Yeah, I went to private school.
Yeah.
You said that you knew you were rich when you were 7. Like, what happened when you were 7 exactly?
You just can tell, like, you go to friends' houses and, like, their houses are shittier than yours, or, like, they're kind of dirtier, or they're, like, they have, like, a simpler life. There's no housekeepers. Like, even though you're a kid, I created this fantasy when I was a kid.
That'd be the giveaway.
Kids are really perceptive of that stuff. Yeah. I created a fantasy when I was little that I knew when I was older that chicks, it's weird that I thought this. I was young when I thought this. I knew chicks might only like me Because when you're a kid, you fantasize about falling in love one day. Uh-huh. I had a fantasy about pretending I was homeless in order to find a woman who would really love me.
For you? Because mm-hmm. you're afraid they'll only love you for money.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that now?
Like, never came close to never. Pretending I was homeless.
Do you think girls like you now for your money, or do you even care?
I don't use it like...
Well, like, the reality is it's part of why they would like you.
Yeah,
you treat them to better dinners than if or lunch, you know.
Yeah, you do use it because I mean, you take them out to nice restaurants and use the cars and stuff like that.
You just have to be wary. Like, I have to be careful. Like, okay, this chick sees I drive a nice car and then I have a nice house. Like, I just have to be. You learn to be careful and you look for signs as to whether or not someone really likes you or if they're using you. And I can tell. It's pretty easy to tell if a girl just likes you for your money.
Well, yeah, but that idea of someone who's just liking you for your money, like they have in movies and stuff, that's not real. Like, they come up with a reason why else. Even if they're dating some old man. Who's like 55 mm-hmm. and they're 22, he's still nice or he's still funny. Like,
I don't.
But
I don't
they wouldn't ever go out with them. But they're like, for the money's sake, I'll look at the good things in them.
That's true in maybe a lot of situations, but no, there are a lot of people whose relationships are solely based on money.
Just like how much you got? All right, let's do it.
I mean, I don't think they're that upfront about it, but like you see all these douchebags. They get married and the woman takes all their money. It's like I usually don't feel bad for those guys because you get the signs, man. You get the signs from people, and you know if someone is just.
And they don't care. Yep. He looks so Israeli right now, by the way.
Yeah.
So you went over to the house and saw no housekeeper and stuff. And then did you immediately feel, like, bad for them? Or what was the feeling do you think you got?
I think as a kid, I kind of resented my upbringing a little because, like, my parents worked a lot. My mother worked a lot. I was kind of left with my housekeeper most of the time. So I kind of resented my family until I kind of grew up a little. Because I'd go to these houses and it'd be like, the mom is in the room, like, talking to the kids, saying, what do you want for mm-hmm. breakfast? I'll make your favorite thing. Or I didn't have a lot of toys. Like, my parents didn't grow up rich, so they didn't spoil me with toys. Like, yeah. I was spoiled in many ways, but, like, I didn't have, like, a lot of cool video games. And, like, there were always kids with more, like, objects than me. So I kind of would get jealous of that.
Go ahead.
How were you spoiled? Like,
what would the other kids say about your house?
It was just like a mansion to them. Oh, you live in a mansion.
Because when I had the same thing. When I went to people's houses, I was like, I wish they were my parents. They were so cool. Mr. Schneider's always joking. You know, just things like that. Or Mr. Butler, they get sugar cereal. I want sugar cereal. But the reality is everyone's just different. And you ignore the things you have good in your life. And you look to other people. So what do you think they looked at you for the mansion? You have a pool?
I had a pool. I didn't have a mansion. They just, a little kid sees it as that. It was more of an estate, I guess. But, yeah, they see a cool house. Maybe I had cooler clothes than them.
But your parents weren't really around.
Smelled better.
My parents weren't around, and that was an issue. I had some friends who had, like, protective parents. They'd be like, well, I don't know. Benji doesn't really have his parents. They just have a housekeeper there.
Yeah, what was your name?
Yolanda.
Yolanda.
She's still with my family.
What does that mean? In a different capacity? She's moved up in the company?
No. She still works at my parents' house, yeah.
What, do you view her as kind of like your mom or surrogate mother?
I sort of do. I mean, she's not my mom, obviously, but she was there. She's been there since I was 1.5. So she washed me, she cleaned me, she fed me, she...
Kissed you.
She kissed me. She was a big part of whatever affection or love I was getting as a kid was her.
You ever had a sexual dream about Yolanda?
No, all my friends say that. Oh, you want to bang her?
No, just wonder if you ever had a sexual dream.
Never, ever, ever. It's not like that. She was there since I was 1.5, feeding me and cleaning me and shit.
That's fine.
You ever see Yolanda doing anything, like, suspicious or weird? Does she have any, like, weird things about her?
No. Nice Catholic woman.
She cut the heads of chickens off.
And... Mexican lady. No, she's a really wholesome... I actually think that I'm whatever degree of nice or a good person I am is because of her.
Because she was like the regular person who grounded you.
Yeah, she was like a really nice virgin Catholic woman raising me. Like, she was humble and nice and giving, so.
Okay. You ever accuse her of stealing at all?
No.
Did you ever think she did?
Sometimes I'll see her like wearing one of my old t-shirts that it just ended up. But it's nothing like, she wouldn't steal. It's not like that.
Right. You're just like, oh, I guess my parents gave that away, but why do you have it?
Yeah, but it's like, I don't care, usually. Right. She knows, she's up in my laundry cleaning, and she knows what I wear, what I don't wear.
She's wearing it around you. I mean, she clearly is not trying to hide it.
Right, yeah, it's not like
it came across her.
Yeah, like, I'll see her in a t-shirt, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that was once my t-shirt.
Okay, so when you went to these other people's houses, you saw they were different, but were you grossed out by it at all? Like, did you flush the toilet with your foot?
That's a good question. I think probably the probably a little. I mean, as a kid, I was a little. I was a very clean kid, so certain things would weird me out.
Yeah.
Generally, well, bathrooms and stuff.
I was I'll go to David Taylor's bathroom. And it's disgusting.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's not because of a poverty situation. It's because of just like he doesn't ever clean it. It's got the brown stuff like, permanently in there.
Yeah.
No matter where he's ever lived. But there is a thing where it's like, ew, this must be gross because it's like if I go to a bath station bathroom, I'm not gonna feel clean in there. Even if they cleaned it a lot. You just view that as like, ugh. So that's how you viewed.
No, I didn't. I think it was almost, looking back, I think it was almost like an exotic thing. Because I didn't, I mean, I have good parents, but when you're more poor,
Poor.
It's like poor or whatever. You sort of have like a closeness in your family. Like your house is smaller. Like I was kind of isolated. I was in like my own room and like far away. So like if you have like a smaller home, you know, like you're a little closer. And I think I sort of,
you know, every time they show poor people in movies, not every time, but a lot, like in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, they're always together and loving life. Yeah. Even in Titanic, everyone's up there in the ballroom going, oh, I guess we'll be out a little bit, but they all hate each other. But then downstairs in steerage, everyone's dancing, and it's a fucking party all the time. Everybody's always sleeping in the
same bed for some reason.
Yeah, it's huge cots that everyone's thinking, yeah.
But, yeah. Well, that's what they sell you, man, because as a kid, like, the rich kid is always the asshole, and the poor kid's always the John Everyman character, you know? So usually you are antagonized being, like, the rich kid. And so I watching all this stuff you see on TV, you feel like you're just like missing out on life. You're like,
because you weren't getting those other things.
Yeah.
But did you look at this how you're portrayed on TV, or and did you associate with the rich?
No, I was sort of like a nerdy kid, so I would usually associate with like the nerdy lead who has to
the nerdy guy, not overcome. Not wealth.
Yeah.
Like when I see something with Jew stuff come on TV, like my, you know, my brain perks up a little bit. I'm like, what's in?
Really?
Yeah, a little bit, especially anything to do with Israel. I'm always like, what are they doing?
Yeah, I never really... I don't get that.
You don't associate at all with it?
With Jewish stuff? I mean, I do, but it doesn't, like, excite me to, like, oh, he's Jewish? I don't get excited.
What do you think more of? Do you think you're more rich or more Jewish?
Yeah. If you had to... like, yeah. Where do you put yourself?
And I'd just like to say this. I know it's in bad taste to talk about money. I'm only just doing this for the sake of honesty. I don't think I'm that rich. I don't go on vacations all the time. I don't have a large income. I am just a stand-up comedian. A lot of my friends are now richer than me because they have real jobs.
Well, the reason I thought of you is this, because I went over to your house the other day, and I was like, we got a sandwich from where did we get it from?
Zero memory.
That bakery next to Rite Aid.
Bristol. We went to Bristol Farms.
Which is kind of that's his
favorite.
This is like my third time plugging Bristol Farms. They should send me something.
Yeah, totally. You're really? Undercover, aren't you?
I love Bristol Farms.
Yeah, it's kind of an upscale restaurant. You don't just get...
It's a market.
Yeah, market. There you go. Not restaurant or not supermarket. Just a market. But so we went there and went back to your house to eat it. And it was a nice house. It was a nice place. And then, you know, we were looking around. It's beautiful on the inside. It kind of looks over the hills, and you can sort of see the city, and you see these Mexican people working below you, like on the street. It was really kind of nice. It makes
me feel so bad.
Well, we were looking at Mexicans working while we were eating. It was very nice. We got high, and then we're like, oh, look at the Mexicans
toiling. I feel so bad about that lately.
And then I was like, where? Because your brother came back at some point, and as he comes in, he goes, is Benji around? I'm like, yeah, he's inside. He goes, oh, cool. Like, as if he didn't care, but I'm like, what would you, well, I wouldn't be here otherwise. Then I was like, where are your parents? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, where are your parents? They're at home during the day?
Oh, you thought I lived at my
home. Yeah, and you were like, oh, they don't live here. They live in their own place.
No, they live in a huge, ridiculous compound.
I've been to that place. Now I realize now that I've been there before.
Yeah.
But it is a compound. But like, you were like, you have a house. It's your and your brother's house. And your brother was in Arizona for a while, so you had a house. And I just realized, I'm like, your experience as a beginning stand-up comic was vastly different than, say, Tony's or mine experience as a beginning stand-up comic.
Yeah.
Because of, I mean, just that. It's not, I was trying to say, you got defensive about it, too, when I brought it up. But it wasn't like, I wasn't putting any judgment on it, good or bad. It was just very different.
Yeah.
Like, I had to get a studio apartment, and that's when I was moving up. I could live on my own.
Which I think that's actually good, because it gives you a different perspective. You know, like, you talk about having money on stage, so in the art form of stand-up, I think that sort of works for you, you know?
People end up saying, too, it's like, well, you have to struggle. That'll help your stand-up. But it's like, no, you just end up struggling. So people try to make it seem like it's some good thing, like you're trying to be, like, struggling. But the reality is you have no choice. And as soon as you don't have to anymore, no one stays there.
Right.
No one stays in that state.
Yeah. Comedians love to glorify their sacrifice and make it seem like it's part. Like,
everyone
it's like,
does.
Yeah. It's like, who cares?
Were you aware of the animosity directed towards the wealthy?
By everyone in general?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, I used to drive a much nicer car, but when I knew I was going to start working at the store, I got rid of it. My family
Which
would
car?
Be... I used to have a nice Jaguar.
Is that your Porsche SUV outside?
It's my aunt's.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just driving it
for now. I thought it was, and I wasn't sure. Yeah. But go ahead. You're okay. You had a Jaguar, and you got rid of it?
I had to get rid of it.
Because people gave you shit so much.
One time...
they didn't like it. People are like, I'm barely getting by in this fucking payments on a 12-year-old car. Yeah, I could see them not liking that.
One time, an open micer thought I was an agent because I was in a nice car. Oh. I was signing up for the open mic, and I pulled up, and then he came. He's like, hey, man, what's up? And it was DeBay. What's his name?
Michael DeBay.
Michael DeBay comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, what's up? Just wanted to introduce myself. And I'm just like an open micer like everyone else signing up at the store.
You're funny. Like, oh, thanks, DeBay. I'm
and then
good.
We had like an awkward moment. He's like, oh, so you're not an agent? And I'm like, no.
My favorites here.
That's funny.
I want to read you some... questions people sent to me about you.
Sure.
Where are the my favorites? Fucking whore. Can't figure any of this out. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. So you were aware. So wait, do people... they got angry at you for having the Jaguar?
No one got angry. I mean, I think I deal with a lot of resentment. I've also... I think I spoke to you guys about this before, too. Just... I get used to, like, reading people and see how much they resent me and if it's, like, a dangerous level of resentment or if it's just an average amount.
What's a dangerous level? What would happen?
Like, just some people, like, will show me a side of them where it's like, whoa, this person really resents me.
For your money?
For my money, for whatever, just a lot of things.
And then you're afraid they're going to, like, hit you? Or you just don't know? Too much of a wild card?
It just shows you that someone is, like, it's more than, like, oh, I'm poor and he's got stuff and I'm jealous. It, like... I think it's easy for someone who's poor to look at someone like me and really kind of hate me.
Do you apologize for your wealth a lot? Like when I brought up that your experience was different than Tony's and that...
Absolutely
you,
not.
You were like, no, why? I shouldn't do... It's like you seem like you were apologizing
Tony,
for it.
No, Tony was born in Youngstown and I was born in Beverly Hills. We have no control over it. It's not my fault that my parents worked hard and made a bunch of money.
It's not, but then why would you get defensive when I asked you about... when I talked to you about that experience?
About which experience?
Well, I found in college... since I didn't have to pay my own way, I had a job to get through college, but the rest was either loans or my parents paid. And I felt bad when my friends had to pay their whole way through, you know, or the backs of my parents were still together when no one else's were. I was like, well, yeah. I was just trying to, like, make up for it somehow or try to feel bad for it. And people made you feel bad. Like, they were better for having put themselves through college completely.
And yeah, they do try to make you feel bad, but it never worked on me. It never worked on me. Why should I feel bad? It's more... if someone wants to offer you... I don't ask for anything from my parents. Yeah. They give me shit sometimes, but... or whatever is just fixed, like if they pay my health insurance, you know? It's like, yeah. I don't ask for it, that's what's happening. It's more pretentious to deny yourself of things that people are giving you than it is to say, oh, I want to know the real struggles of life, and my instincts won't develop well enough if I...
I think that's what people would say, though. I think a lot of people would say, well, you're missing out. You're missing out. I remember Carboni telling me this once about... anyone who gets a TV show early in their stand-up career, like 2 years in, and he goes, well, they're going to be worse off because they're not going to develop a good act.
Nonsense.
And I'm like, they're way better off for having a sitcom under their belt.
Yeah.
They have more credits, they can get more sitcoms. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know what you know?
So you want to believe that. You want to believe, like, well, my struggle is going to help me in the long run.
No, you're going to get used to struggling and used to being a failure and used to fighting for everything.
Uh-huh.
That's the ugliest thing you can see in a stand-up is someone who's just... so wants to fight for everything they get. They're not even fun to watch anymore because it's such a fight.
Yeah, people end up taking pride too in crowds hating them sometimes. We're like, crowds just hate you. You can't start taking pride in that.
That's actually a good joke, audience. I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah. And you're like, good, I'm glad you hate me. And it's like, no. Very rarely should say. Okay, I want to tell you what people have asked. Because I asked just half for questions. So what I didn't include any, some joke ones, but... I'm just going to read a bunch of them. What type of toilet paper did you guys buy?
My parents grew up poor, so
quadruple ply.
I know. Quanta ply.
Toilet paper? You mean towels? Actual white towels?
Yeah, they just have real towels. Yeah.
My mom was born in East LA. My dad's from Morocco, which is like a third world country. So
how did he make his money?
Real estate.
Real estate.
Yeah.
Which is you're making money of that too now, right?
Not yet. I have my broker's license.
Okay.
But back to the toilet paper thing. My mom is from the old school and she does not buy expensive toilet paper. She buys shitty toilet paper.
What brand?
My dad complains about it.
Not
Costco,
red.
Probably.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa, we bought better than that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, we did not grow up with nice. She's like ghetto. Like the last night we went out to dinner and we had a huge fight about the tip and it was like a difference of like nothing and they still wouldn't do it.
Like, that's great.
She's very, yeah, it's a Jewish thing. She's very tough with money. Money's a big deal.
That's how Mitzi was. She, with the old Jew, they're very, like, Mitzi would always treat everyone, like, she'd be like, hey, 12 of you, come on, I'm taking you all to dinner. And then tip, like, a dollar.
Yeah.
We're like, well, how'd you, she was generous in some ways, but they just were taught not to do that.
So your mom was telling your dad to tip less?
My grandfather and my mother were having a debate on how much to tip. It was a big fancy dinner, and the tip was like $150 because it was a big dinner. It was a big birthday dinner. And like another $10 would have made it like a full-blown 20% tip.
You should always do 20%. Yeah. What the fuck?
I know. And she's that's like 17%. That's fine. I'm like, just make it 160. And they like, they wouldn't. And then I got up and I was like trying to get change and figure out. And they're like, did you just give him more money? And I'm like, no. And I was trying to, but...
But you didn't get there yet.
I was waiting at the bar a while to get change. I only had big bills on it. It took forever. And it's like $150 tip to be like, here's another 10, dude. It's kind of tacky. Yeah. So it's just like, all right.
I realized at some point that at my level of where I eat, diners, you know, shitty stuff like that, like difference between an extra dollar or two is a difference between like 18% and 26%. You go from like a to a hero.
Yeah.
With a buck. It's like, I may as well do it.
Coming from a poor family, I'll tell you, that's one of the things that they instill in you young. They're like 20%, 15% isn't an option. Things like that. Yeah. We were talking about on the way at over here, 15. Like how poor people are always told or at least taught young. Like I was poor, but my mom always made sure that I had nice looking clean shoes. And that's always something that she lived by and swore by. Like I had Nikes. But
really?
I'd be wearing these sweet brand new Nikes with like high waters from 3 years before pants. So you had a really good view at my shoes.
The harder they come, they talk about in Kingston, Jamaica, where everyone's super poor. They made sure that your school outfit was perfectly pressed and perfectly cleaned. Like the plaid dresses for the girls. And it was that had to be spotless. And the rest, you just lived in just in squalor.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the poor just take one thing and say, we got to choose that.
Do you use cheap toilet paper just because you have a bodega though, or something like that?
Use those seashells from Demolition Man or whatever.
Do you have a bidet in your house?
I don't have a bidet, but no, I just get regular toilet paper. Like, now I sort of will, because I grew up with shitty toilet paper, sometimes I'll be like, I'm getting the best kind.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
When you go to Subway, can you always afford the meal?
Subway...
Restaurant.
Oh, he doesn't even know what that is.
Subway. Disgusting.
Subway, like to where I go to catch a train in New York, or
because I would never do that. I would just get a cab or a limo service.
That's Subway. Ridiculous. It's all hormones and antibiotics and sodium. I don't eat that stuff.
You don't. Okay, you wouldn't even answer that question. On the road, I think that answered the question.
On the road, I'll eat Subway, and if I do, I'll get a veggie patty. And no, I don't get the full meal.
But it's not had nothing to do with money or trying to like.
No.
What do you like, got you against Sun Chips?
Do you take the Subway when you go to New York?
Sometimes.
When you're with locals, or do you just like go for it at night?
I lived in New York for 2 years, so I took the subway plenty. Okay. But I, you know, I don't. I take cabs probably more than the average Joe, I guess.
Okay, here's one that I wanted to read because I think people
have to like make it seem.
Yeah, make it seem like you're doing nothing wrong.
Well, yeah, I am better than I do. Oppress the poor, yes, I guess.
You're not doing anything. You're giving a job to a fucking cab driver.
Yeah. I just find usually in New York, like, oftentimes the subway is almost not even worth it.
It's sort of disgusting.
The bus sucks, too. The bus in New York sucks. I hear people like, I love the bus. Come on, the bus sucks.
People say they love the bus because they come to peace with it.
The subway can work out. If you're going from downtown to uptown, then yeah. But usually it's like, take a cab.
Okay, here's one because I really like this. How do you develop character if everything is handed to you? But I think that's what we were talking about before.
I mean, I've got a lot of personality.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's what people think. Like, you cannot develop any character.
I mean, you do. Yeah. You figured out. You do. I'm still a There's human nice being. Rich I grew people. Up with friends. I grew up watching TV. It's not like... I'm not a freak. I'm not a zombie.
Yeah, but you don't have feelings like us.
Right. Like emotions.
How do you develop character? That's a jokey joke. That's a jokey question.
No, I think that comes from...
How does anyone develop character? What kind of question is that? I live life. I read books. I take in information and then I
think mainly people think they develop character through hardship, which I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that's what people
Bullshit.
Think.
Bullshit. You can develop all sorts. That's retarded.
Well, how do people develop character?
Molestation and rape.
You can still develop character through
Well, how do most happiness. People develop in general?
You can still learn things. That's like saying I can only learn something that a school can teach me if,
Brian, look up character.
If they're yelling at me.
Character?
It's like saying it's impossible to be happy and learn something. That's retarded.
Right. But how do you feel about people thinking that? Because I do think that's a normal thought, is people like, this will build character. Losing, it'll build character. I'm hearing that constantly. But you still lost in your intramural sports leagues, right?
If I need to study for a test, I'm still going to study for 3 hours, and that study period is going to be grueling. So, I mean, even if you're poor or rich, studying for 3 hours is going to suck.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Okay. Can I go to features? Let's get the from one. Hold on.
It's retarded. I'll develop more character because I'm isolated. I'm told that I'm different than everybody. How do you develop character being just like everyone else, you dumb fuck?
Okay. Yeah, what the fuck, Ari?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I just like the fact that people think that about you.
They're retarded.
People think that you can't develop anything, so then you would just be like this bland...
Tards.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone on more vacation. How do you develop character? You've never been on a nice vacation. You've never gone to Europe.
I really do. I wonder what that is. Or people say,
you've never seen the world. You've never traveled. How do you develop character? It's like... That's just, he's trying to put me down in the form of a question. Screw you.
Good answer.
I guess the question was how. Like, give examples, I guess.
How do you develop character, Tony? You're from Youngstown.
I don't really know. I can't even think of, like...
It's like a ridiculously retarded question. I think the
question was that you can't develop character because you only develop with your super hardships.
That's retarded.
But his hardships come through money. I remember Coolio talking to Jon Stewart once about this. Is Coolio the dead one?
No.
Oh, maybe it's ODB. Maybe he's older.
ODB is dead, yeah.
One of those guys, but no, because they were mid.
Internet 80s, rumors early that Coolio 90s. Is dead. You guys hear Coolio's yeah. dead?
But Jon Stewart was like, I can't imagine what it was like to grow up and have to worry about some gangbanger shooting you, or you know, or shooting one of your friends. And then Coolio / ODB was like, no, that was just my hardship. You had a guy gonna take your lunch money. It was the same as a kid when you don't know any different. That's the same level
it's
of
all relative.
It's
yeah.
just that's a huge loss for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember not making the volleyball team 1 year and just like crying, but now yeah. I couldn't imagine crying if I not make some team.
Yeah,
like just play JV for another year. It's okay. It's fun.
Your dream is to play volleyball. Theirs is to get home safely. It's just we have different dreams.
Yeah, their dream is to meet their father for the first time.
Yeah. I saw the saddest documentary on HBO. Have you guys seen it? It's called like Motel Kids of Orange.
No, I have not seen that.
Oh my God. It's about these really poor children who live in really crappy motels next to Disneyland.
Next to Disneyland?
They're right next to the happiest place on earth, but they have the shittiest, most saddest lives. And they ask these children like the saddest questions like, does God know you're poor?
Whoa.
And they'll be like, yeah. It's so sad. This one girl was like, yeah, I had to, they're like, what's it like being homeless? They're like, not so good. And they're like, where'd you have to sleep? And she's like, the park once. And the saddest thing,
what?
They go, what was that like? And she goes, not so fun, actually. So you can tell that she thought, like, any kid would be fun.
The park, we can sleep in the park.
And they keep asking, they go, well, why wasn't it fun to sleep in the park? And then she goes, because when you wake up, there's nowhere to get dressed.
Oh.
And then, like, 10 minutes later, they show her she has no hair because she has lice. They shave this...
When you see people, like, really poor like that and just talking about it, do you ever get the urge to, like, jerk off or anything special?
No, I cried. The documentary made me cry. I felt
that's
terrible.
Sad. When you see a kid suffering, it's somehow sadder.
Yeah.
Because they haven't done anything wrong or something.
Do you jerk off every day? That's a question I have.
Or do you have somebody, do you pay somebody to do it for you?
No, I don't.
Somebody asked how much did it cost to lose your virginity.
Sometimes, like, I'll jerk off, like, 4 times in a day, and sometimes I won't at all.
See, there's a reason why I asked that question, because I feel like jerking off is something that people that grew up poor and might even still be poor do every single day, whereas if you're rich, you might not do it every single day. Like, I think everybody is a little bit different.
So retarded.
I think it's
here's
so
why.
Retarded.
Here's why.
You think that.
You notice how every poor person has all these pipe dreams about, like...
I'm going to stop masturbating.
Here's why I think my theory is right. Is what? Because it's very simple. Masturbation is free. It's the same reason why a lot of poor people fuck all the time and make babies, and rich people are, like, more responsible and have better things to do than just make babies in the middle of Tennessee.
But that has nothing to do with masturbation.
Masturbation's free. I just think there's something to be said about free entertainment.
Masturbation is free.
Look at Charlie Sheen. He fucks all the time. He's rich. It's ridiculous.
He's also a movie star.
Yeah.
But he's not trying to make babies.
It's ridiculous.
Hold on. Another question. I'm going to get back to my list of questions to ask you. Did you look down on your friends? You didn't at all. Do you now? You don't.
No, of course not.
I think Matt Edgar would say that you do. That you look down on people for not having money. Or is it just in general you look down on them?
I mean, I do judge them. But yeah. We all judge everybody. But yeah. I don't look down. I would never look down at someone for having this. Of course not. Maybe if you're like not well educated, if I think you're retarded, and maybe that's a.
You're pretty good with your money, with your parents' money, whatever. But like when you have a July 5th party every year.
Yeah.
At one of your estates, one of your beach homes.
That's not an estate.
No, but it's a nice beach home. And then I remember going like, oh, we got to clean up. Like, nah, maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anybody going, no, that's not her responsibility. We should do this. Everybody instantly goes, fuck yeah. Let the maid do it tomorrow. So any of this idea of building character, somehow making it better that you're poor, then stay fucking poor. Do the fucking work. Wash Benji's dishes. But you're not going to. Because the maid doing it is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I love maids. I have a great housekeeper right now, Dolores. And I buy her lunch every day. And today I had to come do this podcast, so I told my brother, who lives with me, will you buy Dolores lunch? And he goes, I don't play the buy Dolores lunch game.
Who said that?
My brother.
What does that mean?
He like is not interested in buying the woman who cleans his house lunch.
Because she's like, she gets paid.
Yeah, but she has no food. Like, she wants to eat lunch.
It sounds like your family is a bunch of assholes. It does sound like like, seriously, this guy makes millions of dollars, but he won't fucking buy his maid lunch. I fucking buy... you know Jonathan Daniel Brown?
Well, no, it's not...
I love him.
All right, I don't even have money. And this is, like, he fucking, like, the other day we were at this place, and he was talking to this girl, and he's like, I think this girl likes me. So he's like, would you like to go into the comedy show? So he bought a ticket for her and stuff like that. They sit down. Immediately she says, my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. I felt so bad for him, I bought that girl's ticket. I just gave him $15.
Why?
Because I felt bad for him. But anyways, I don't even have a lot of money, but, like, if I had tons of money, I would be throwing it out like crazy. Like, hey, you want Subway? I'm sorry. Hey, do you want...
Why would you waste that
McCormick
money?
And Smits?
Huh? Was it like a girl that you brought there or something?
No.
Well, then why would you feel responsible to give that guy money?
Because, look, he's a little kid and he learns his lessons and he has no money.
He won't learn his lesson if he didn't pay anything.
Yeah, you're right. Whatever.
Yeah, he should learn his lesson before buying the ticket. Yeah. But that is nice, and that's like...
He's not learning. He bought Crazy Katie a drink. That guy's not learning anything.
He's trying to get laid. He didn't
Katie
work.
Katie Seabury?
No.
Yeah, but my point is, if I had a lot of money, I would not be fucking like looking like my P's and Q's. Like, I don't buy lunch and stuff. Like, I wouldn't have that attitude.
You're definitely not. Well, if you have money, you're definitely not debating on whether a tip is $150 or $160.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I don't get. That's crazy. It seems like the Jewish part of you is overpowering the.
Well, that's his brother, not him.
No. I mean,
I don't think it was a money thing. I think he was just it was busy and he didn't feel like taking the time to.
Yeah, I can see that if it's every day. It's like, every time
she's
here, I gotta buy...
It's not every day. She's there once a week.
Oh, so you just gotta have some lunch for her?
I buy her lunch. I don't have to, but I just do. She gets a great lunch.
Whenever I get housekeepers, the once every year on average I get a housekeeper to come clean, I'll buy them sodas.
Yeah?
I get a couple of Cokes and keep in the
fridge.
Makes
me feel good. I like it when people are working for me.
Hey, you guys want...
I do it all the time.
Check out the Cokes in the fridge. Those are 20 ounces. Split that up for the whole day.
But yeah, there is a lot of money-oriented things that happened in my family. That's very money-ish. And it is, you're right, it is, gets pretty Jewy. Like, they're Republicans, but it's mainly because of money, I think.
What, yeah, that's, I read a report in the NBA, and they said that the first 10 things you do once you get drafted in the NBA, first, it's like number one, buy your mama a house, or whatever. Another, like, number six or seven was switch to the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Because instantly, they go, whoa, how much do we lose? Mm-hmm. And that group says what? Oh, yeah, I'm Republican.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless. Absolutely.
My grandfather is hardcore Republican. When he was my age, he was like, used to go to communist meetings.
It's great to have these ideals about the world, like everyone in college does. But then you're like, the reality is, sucks.
And now he goes, oh, I only went to those communist meetings to try to meet girls.
He might have only gone there for that. Wow. Do you resent his wealth at all?
No. I mean, it's really the only thing that
you resent my wealth a little.
No, I don't. You know, I was raised around a lot of rich people. You know, I had friends because my neighborhood was so bad that if I would have gone to the public schools, I would have been killed.
You went to private schools?
Yeah, I had to.
What was the affiliation? Like religion or?
Oh, Catholic. Yeah. Catholic, okay. That's all there is.
Did you live in a house growing up?
Yeah, but it had been the family house like
forever.
You went
to a Jewish school.
All right. I grew up more poorer than him.
More poor?
Yeah.
You lived in an apartment growing up?
Yeah, when my parents got divorced in third grade, we pretty much...
divorced.
I lived with my mom, who was like a secretary type person, and it was me and my sister sharing a room in an apartment in like a shitty part of a really nice area of Columbus. It's like the school district we went to was like one of the highest, nicest school districts ever, but we lived right on the border where it's like, is this even supposed to be in this district? But yeah, we grew up pretty poor.
I had one friend who had an apartment. He also had a ferret, which was cool. But I remember going there and kind of being split, now that I think about it, in one thinking like, oh, this is cool. You're like, you're with so many people all around you. And another part going, ew. Like, you're right next to your mom's room and there's no downstairs. This is blech.
Yeah, when I was 13 or 14, after our house got robbed for the fourth or fifth time, we moved to an apartment in a nicer neighborhood. And it's horrendous. The fact that you can, like, when you go from a house to being able to hear people next to you, it's mind-boggling.
I love it. I loved it. As a kid, that was my porn, listening to the people have sex. I would hold up the cup to the wall and just listen to my neighbors have sex almost every night. You know, I was just this little fucking 12-year-old just fucking living.
Sounds awesome.
But yeah, it was badass. She was a screamer. He made no noises. Perfect.
Our neighbors were a couple. Then they were older, you know, very overweight African-Americans. And what they would do is they would barbecue all day and just shit all night. So all that you could hear was through the bathroom, just like these moans and noises. And the next day, first thing in the morning, you'd wake up to them barbecuing again and then just shitting all night.
I used to live in between Sammy Davis Jr. and Priscilla Presley, and I never saw either of them once.
Really?
God, what's that echo?
Your ghost.
God, I would love to not know my neighbors at all. It'd be so great. What do you think you missed out on by growing up wealthy, if anything? Like, is there that experience like, oh, I wish I could listen to my neighbors? Or what, like, what parts of life do you think you just didn't get? Because everyone misses out on certain things.
It's hard to say. I think I would have liked to have spent more time with my parents.
Okay, the family life being too.
Well, like, I had, like, it wasn't like I was lonely. Like, I had a lot of siblings, but. Like, I sort of, like, I look at my oldest sibling, and she's, like, super successful millionaire.
This should be the only sound effect you have ready to go at all times.
You're doing it good, I like it. My sister's a really successful, like, millionaire and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that could probably, and so my parents are successful millionaires, so I think maybe she has that success because she spent more time with them. But I was my parents' fourth kid, so I think by the time I was around, I wasn't really around them as much, and maybe...
Wow.
Maybe they didn't take care of you. And you would be a successful millionaire if not for that.
I think maybe I'd have more success in my life if I spent more time with my parents growing up.
Wow, I find that interesting. That
you But I don't blame them. Life. I'm not trying to antagonize. My mom is really hardworking. My dad was great. They're great parents. I just think that they just, you know, I was their fourth kid and I was in a big house.
All right, not that one. and so you just wish you would have seen them more.
I wish I did more activities and stuff with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did stuff with them.
Yeah.
But it's because they were very ambitious people. Like, I don't blame them, you know?
Do you feel like a failure for being, how old are you now?
27.
27 and not having a job?
I do often feel like a failure, yeah. But I have to just keep doing what I'm doing, you know?
Do you think you'd feel like as much of a failure if you didn't have brothers and sisters that were millionaires?
Possibly more, because that means more pressure's on me. Like, I have two successful siblings that are really successful. And then I have another sister who's pregnant, so it's kind of like... Oh, well, then all the other siblings are covering the bases that would make mom and dad proud. So the fact that I'm just a stand-up comedian and I'm not on television doing it is
the one who's pregnant. I'm assuming she's married.
Yeah, she had a shotgun wedding.
How old are you again?
Oh, really?
I'm 27. Yeah.
Is she married to a wealthy person?
She married an Israeli guy. She's living in Israel to this guy. He does well. He has a good job. I don't know if he's like rich, but
where?
In Tel Aviv.
Okay.
Yeah, very nice guy.
What neighborhood do you know?
What?
Do you know what neighborhood?
In Tel Aviv, no. But they're doing fine. They're fine. He's got a good job.
But grandkids is something the parents love.
People now it's like that. You have two successful children and you have a grandkid, so it's like you can...
I once counted the pictures in my parents' house once, and there were 22 pictures of the first granddaughter and one of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mom, do you know how many pictures there are of Ashley versus me? She's like, I don't know, probably a few more about it because, you know, we take more pictures now. I'm like, 22 to 1. She's like, that's just not true. I'm like, do the math. Go walk around the house. Find more than one of me. Find less than 22 of her.
That's exactly how it is with me too, Ari.
Yeah, they love one picture. That's all they love.
My mom got this whole family picture thing where it was our whole family, and she paid for this photographer and stuff like that. And I had shroom the night before or something, and I woke up late, and so now they took the picture without me instead of just waiting like a half hour. So now you go to her house, and there's this huge family portrait, and then there's this just chunk missing where they didn't say move together. They just left this chunk out for me, and they were like going to say, hey, maybe we could like Photoshop you in there later, but it's like, what? And they never did it, and so.
I like how you were shrooming, but you tried to like blame your family. Like, I'm trying to shroom here. You can't wait a half hour?
Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of sad if you think about back in the day. See, I was going to say, it doesn't seem you ever, like, you never went through the, I'm working at a restaurant, I'm going out every night and blacking out with my coworkers. You never did that kind of thing, did you? Or did you in college?
No, he doesn't now. You do it now.
No, I never.
He doesn't do it now. He barely leaves the house.
No, you do, right? You're at the comedy store all the time. You're drinking.
I drink with my peers, yeah, but you're right. I've never had, like, a job with, like, the dudes, and I've only been on, like, one job. I went on my first job interview recently.
But what experience, Brian, do you think he's missing out on?
Just like the living that everyone goes through. You kind of go through like that college years where you just fucking do a lot of bad things and bad mistakes. And
I went to college. I kind of had a, nah, maybe not. But I'm okay with my college career. I did okay.
Where'd you go?
I went to the University of Arizona for 3 years, and then I transferred.
Did you dorm?
For a semester, and then I left. I didn't like it.
I feel everyone that went to Maryland with me.
And then you're right. I was a spoiled brat, and I should have stayed in my dorm.
Yeah, everyone who went there and did not dorm had a worse college experience. Liked it less than right. People who dormed and made real close friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just a brat. It happens. A lot of kids, they leave Beverly Hills. I went to U of A with a lot of friends, and we just all bratted out. Like, we would drive back to L.A. once every 2 weeks.
Wow.
A lot of my friends just left after a few weeks, because it's like Tucson after growing up in L.A. your whole life. So they're like, fuck this. So a lot of my friends left almost immediately. A lot of them, like, developed coke habits and then left. So that was, but that humbled me, because I lived in Tucson for 3 years after being like a brat my whole life.
Yeah.
So it kind of like
taught you, like, ew, there's stuff.
When you were in college, did you ever accidentally like run out of cash? Like, oh, I don't have money for pizza or drinks or anything right now. I'm sort of like, was there ever an emergency in which
that's an interesting question.
Have you ever gotten to that point? Because, yeah. Like, I'd imagine you probably have an ATM card or whatever.
I did get plenty of money in college, but one time I got into a drunk driving accident,
uh-huh.
And I had just gotten my car there. It was like day three with my car at college, and I get in a drunk driving accident.
All time.
And I couldn't tell my parents because I'd just gotten the car back from the body shop in LA. Like, I went to college with no car, because it was in the body shop. Went back to LA like a week into college, brought it, got in a drunk driving accident. So then I fixed it by saving up the money that my parents gave me every month, and then my friend would, like, feed me.
Oh, so you had to, like, divert funds from that.
Yeah.
In order, but then you lost money for living well.
Yeah, and then my friend had to help support me for a little bit.
How long was that?
A couple months.
How wealthy was that friend?
He's not that wealthy, but he's from Palos Verdes. He comes from a nice home.
So he made you, like, good food. You said he made you food?
No, he had, like, one of those meal plans that kids in college have, so I just ate, like, gnarly college food for a little.
He, did you feel bad having to take that from him?
I did a little, but, like, it, you know, we're good friends. We're still good friends. So I think he knew that I'd pay him back and all that was okay. And
did you pay him back?
Yeah, everything was paid back. I paid everybody back.
Oh, you kept a tally of, like, how much do you owe them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever bought a case of ramen noodles?
Ramen.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I hate that stuff.
Yeah, wow. It's pretty gross. That stuff is terrible.
Yeah, it is bad,
it's
but
quick,
I mean,
and easy, though.
Like, when I was a kid, like, I wanted to, like, try a cup of noodles because I wasn't allowed to have it. And, like, one time it made me throw up.
Yeah, so. You're like, oh, this is why we're not allowed to have it.
Your body just rejects poor people food. Is this a peanut butter and jelly?
somebody asked, does eating with a silver spoon change the taste of cereal?
No, the soy milk does.
That's a great question.
Goat milk. I'm all about
goat milk.
Oh, I love goat milk.
Wow. What? I'll tell you this. One time I was up at Benji's compound in the Hollywood Hills, his place, and I had some goat milk in a glass. First of all, I'm not, like, big on dairy.
Yeah.
So normally it slows me down and makes me feel bad. I drank this goat milk. I remember we went down to the Comedy Store and did our spots. I had one of those magical sets to where it's just like there's fire. And I, a couple days later, I go to Trader Joe's. I'm like, I need to find goat milk. It made me feel good enough. I was like in touch.
Really?
You know what I mean? And I bought poor people goat milk, and I bombed that night.
You got to get the good goat milk. I think it's called, like, Strayenberg Farms or something like that.
You were like, fucking goat milk.
They sell it at Whole Foods, Bristol Farms.
Yeah.
Even a lot of pavilions sell goat milk. It's a vital animal, you know?
Even
if you,
a lot
if you
of pavilions.
If you're
still an upscale place.
If you're...
I love it. That's like the most upscale of grocery stores to most people.
The other one was, pavilions, like, oh, we could go there, but the other one, like, Bristol Farms, people don't even go.
The appropriate answer would have been John.
Okay, if I can continue plugging goat milk. If you are what you eat, goats are very, like, vital, strong animals, so it's a better milk. Cows are, like, lethargic. You don't want that milk. Goats are, like, climb a building.
I love the science that you're quoting now. Yeah. It's kind of amazing to me.
Go online and do some goat milk research and try it. You'll feel amazing right after you drink it.
It might be that, but I doubt it's because you are what you eat. And goats they're always doing stuff. Yeah,
I think that is it.
Hey, I'm a goat. Look at me. I'm on the town.
Yeah, yeah. Discotex. Goats a mover and shaker. Cows are just idiots.
When you started at the comedy store and you saw his, well, or not even that. When you grew up, when you looked at people like that, mm-hmm. when you imagined them, how did you feel about them? Jealous, angry.
You know, not really, because here's the thing is that, and I've thought about this since knowing we were going to do this, it's like, I wouldn't have traded in. I was a cool kid uh-huh. the whole time. Oh, I was good at sports, but most importantly, I was the
really
laughing guy. Like, I was the guy that made people laugh, the guy that people liked. I was the cool guy. And the other kids had more money and had those big houses and all that stuff.
So they're jealous of you being the cool guy.
Right. So there was always that, and it was always blatant to me because they would let it known, I would let it known. It was just a whole thing.
This idea of people saying, like, I wouldn't trade it in for that because... But, like, if you trade it in, you could still be the cool guy.
Right, exactly.
You could still be good at sports. Yeah. You could have all that and have money instead of living in
a I just feel like there's catches to everything. Like, yeah. I mean, the cat walks in the room, and Benji starts sniffling. You know what I mean?
He's like a nerd.
Right.
Well, he just doesn't have those extra added ingredients that are in Doritos and stuff like that make us not allergic to cats.
There was an episode of Married with Children where she wins a personal trainer for a week, and this guy is like an all-universe kind of guy, and he sits there, and Peg, he just likes to sit on the couch and eat bonbons. And this guy kept trying to motivate her, and eventually Peg convinced him, he's like, just sit on the couch for a minute, eat one bonbon. And then he gets addicted to it, he loves it, and he dies at the end of that episode because his body couldn't handle that kind of poison, whereas Peg's built up a tolerance.
I could have very easily been poor and this much afflicted to my allergies.
Seems like it's a nerd Jew thing, though,
right,
doesn't it?
Right, I know. It was just a very odd example.
Yeah, I'm allergic to cats, but not that bad.
Hey, whatever makes you guys feel better. Well, he's rich, but he's allergic to cats, so fuck it. I mean, the other man's grass.
That is. Why do I immediately go like, see, you have to pay for it. You're like, no, you don't. You're just allergic to cats. How do you have poor people allergic to cats, too? They just have to sniffle all the time. And they don't ever realize. And mom's like, well, we have a cat, so fucking deal with it.
I feel like there's always catches with everything, is what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I mean, that was just a small example, but I mean, there's always catches with everybody. There's no super rich, happy. Well, I mean, there's a lot of super rich, happy guys.
I think in comedy, someone's less likely to want to help me because my parents have money and they just look at me as some rich kid.
I
think people are less likely to be like, oh, he needs the money, I'll take him on the road and stuff like that.
I feel like that's why a lot of people help female comics, and like, because they look at them, and I think it's sexist on their part, but I think it's they look at them and say, oh, they're trying really hard. Where it's like, no, they've been doing comedy for a decade. Like, right. They're not beginners, but you still look at them as like, no. But like, they could look at you and like, you're fine. You don't need my help.
Yeah,
like,
nobody.
My career.
Yeah, nobody really helps me. But that's okay. And when you're Jewish, everyone's like, he's Jewish. He'll be fine. And it's like, I don't have like 10 Jewish executives from DreamWorks knocking on my door every day trying to help me because I'm Jewish.
People believe that too.
Black comics help black comics. Gay comics help gay comics. Like, everyone helps each other. It's not like.
And it's not even that. It's you end up helping your friend. There's a lot of Jews in showbiz. So there's way more Jewish failures than there are like black failures out here.
Yeah.
Because there's so many of us that come out here.
Everyone thinks like I'm fine because I'm Jewish and from Beverly Hills. I'm not. Please take me on the road.
Yeah.
I'm still a Jew. Someone's
going to hook you up. Like, no. There's other Jews they can hook up.
Yeah. And Jews aren't looking to just help out other Jews.
Not. Just one joke you make whenever you meet somebody. And then it's over.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sort of. I mean, Hollywood is run by Jews.
taking advantage of, like, brown people to appeal to other brown people who are watching TBS all day.
Yeah, first of all, if you watch UPN or any of those black shows and that, wherever, you're a fucking idiot and you deserve the trash they shove down your throats.
Yeah.
Those shows are all horrible.
Yeah.
The Game, fucking... All this. Martin was the last good black show there was, and that was on Fox. That was on regular TV. They didn't make it palatable to white people. The plot lines are so fucking terrible. That one where all those chicks run a newspaper or a magazine or something. You don't even know these shows because they're that fucking bad. The dialogue is terrible. It was written by like 14-year-olds who had been watching sitcoms for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh.
And they watch it. Why do they watch it?
Ain't no Living Single, let me tell you.
Living Single is terrible. God. It was like, what are you guys... Ugh, you should be angry. They should riot. That's kind of entertainment they're given.
Yeah, it is wrong. I'm surprised.
It's degrading to people to be like, hey, we know you're black, and here's a black show that's retarded for you. Yeah,
they'll dance in the middle. It'll be like, what?
Yeah, it's degrading.
No, like, black reality shows. They're all sitcoms.
Yeah. George Lopez. That show was terrible.
Why do you think that is? Did you say George Lopez?
The sitcom. That sitcom was horrible. Yeah. It was horrible. It's like, how are you putting... And people are watching it. Because that's all that's available with their color in it? I'm not sure, but...
There's a lot of reasons why they'll watch it.
You shouldn't be able to hear people laughing anymore. I feel like... laugh tracks and all that. Hey.
Nice.
This is kind of Benji's TV shows.
Have you thought about what you would pitch to the TV show? Would it be about growing up rich? That's the wrap it up noise.
No.
What is
it? If I were to pitch my life as a television show?
Yeah, if you wanted a sitcom based, they're like, make it based on your life a little bit.
Yeah. I think it'd be me being a stand-up comedian while I manage property, because for a while that was my life. I used to manage property and like be a landlord, but at the same time...
So Glee mixed with real estate.
Here's the hint. I would drop the stand-up comedy off it, because I think TV people get that pitch that every single time. Like, I'm a substitute teacher, but I'm also a stand-up comic. I'm a this, but I'm also a stand-up comic. Like, drop the shit. Nobody cares if you're a stand-up comic. What's the other part?
Me managing property was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because I'm like nice, but...
You've had to evict people.
Yeah.
Do you get hard every time, like, it's time to go fucking throw somebody in their ass?
No, I'm really nice. I try to be nice about it. Usually, you're the enemy, you're the landlord, so they're like ready to like put out all this negative energy towards you.
Can you give me an example of how you've evicted somebody? Like, pretend like I'm that person? Well, first tell me what I did wrong.
No,
like
it's all in paper. You don't just go up to someone and say you gotta go. You gotta just, you tape a 3-day notice on their door.
Saying you have to pay me by then or you're gone?
You have 3 days, otherwise, we can legally kick you out.
And then another notice that says you didn't pay in 3 days.
Well, first, you can give a 3-day notice right off the bat. If they're late on rent, you can say, you got 3 days.
The second
if you want to. We're not dickheads, we don't do that to people. But you can do that.
Have you ever seen anybody that you've evicted, like, on the street afterwards or any time after that? Have you ever made eye contact with anybody that you've evicted before?
Yeah.
Post-eviction, I mean.
Yeah.
What's that
actually,
like?
No, I haven't. But I've had, it's awkward, man. Like, but you know what? If you own apartment buildings or if you see what it's like, 9 out of 10 times, the tenants are the dicks, man.
Yeah.
They destroy those places. People live like garbage with dog piss everywhere.
I had
one lady told me she left her water running all day and we paid the water bill. She left her water running all day until a bowl that overflows so her cat could have fresh water. I tried to evict her, that fucking cunt.
Why wouldn't she just do it in the bathtub? Or wait, did she do
Why
it?
Would no, you have water fresh. Running all day?
It'd be fresh, because it's free.
Yeah, fuck you.
How much did that cost you?
I don't know. We had like a high $4. Water bill, and then like I found $4. Out that she left her water running all day.
It was $4.
All day, every day, just leaves her water running so her cat can always have fresh water. That's really nice for the cat.
They take that $4 like off the bill for the family dinner. At the
When I lived in my studio, I didn't pay for heat or rent or anything like that. I just paid for this base rent. I would close the windows and the doors to the bathroom and just run the hot water in the shower and sit, close the toilet, like, all the way down, sit there having a steam. I would take a steam. I didn't know it cost them a lot.
Take a steam?
Mm-hmm. Steam or schwitz.
We've done nice things. We had this one guy.
Jewish shit, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. White people call that a hot shower.
Yeah. We call that hygiene.
Look at how they laugh, Benji. They laugh like poor people. Tilt their head back, still uncouth.
One time we had a really old man whose wife died, and we actually helped him because he was living in garbage.
You helped him clean up?
What happened, old men, when their wives die, like, they don't know. They've been getting taken care of for it, and their lives just... He was up, like, knee-high in old newspapers, collected weird shit. Like, everything was gross, and we went in there, threw all his trash away. Gave him new furniture, repainted everything, so we're not, like, assholes.
That becomes a relationship where guys will let their wives take care of them, cook and everything, and then you just forget. Like, if you haven't operated the fucking washing machine in 20 years, you're like, I don't know. These are new. I don't know how to do these at all.
It's like About Schmidt that happens in About Schmidt when his wife dies and his whole house falls apart.
I worked at Arlington National Cemetery, and you get to, if you serve 20 years or get a Purple Heart, you get to be buried there and have a full plot. And you get your wife to be buried right next to you. That's allowed too, or with you in the same, like, plot. But you would see the dates on them. And if it was the guy first, the wife would live anywhere between, 6 months, a year, to, like, 30 years. It was just a wide, wide range. They'd live as long as they were going to live. The guys, like, 90% of the time, within 2 years, they were dead.
Yeah.
They're just unable to fucking care for themselves.
Yeah. That's what happens. I think any men are just alone too long. We don't really know how to...
Yeah.
Like, imagine how different your apartment in life would be if you just had a girl around all the time.
I'm also okay with it. It's like, yeah, there's trash around.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah, if there was a girl around it, when I had a woman living with me, it was nicer. It's clean.
Yeah.
That was her job because she cared about it.
Yep.
My job was to pay the rent because I cared about that.
Should I just run through Jewy money things that my family has done real quick? Since
yeah,
we're
sure. That
sounds great.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. When I lost my virginity,
yeah,
when I was 16, my sister sold the gossip to my grandfather.
Sold it?
Sold gossip? Like to TMZ?
Like the African
No, woman? Like you can go to my grandfather who's got money and you can be like, hey, I've got gossip. It's going to cost you $500.
How much did she sell it for?
I think she got $500.
Now, did he pay her commiserate with what the gossip was like? Or did he say, you better not fuck me on this gossip, otherwise next time you
get Well, yeah, yeah, that conversation happens. Like, yeah, it's going to be this much. I think it's this
like,
much.
Trust me, it's juicy. It's good.
Yeah.
And... Wow. And you lost your virginity. Who'd you lose virginity to?
This girl. Sabrina. Her name's Sabrina.
Well, I mean, what relationship was it?
She was like my best, like one of my best friends in high school, and we were just friends, and we were always like, well, we should just do it. And my brother put a lot of pressure on me to lose my virginity, so one day she came over and we had sex, and it was just, you know, first time sex. A lot of blood.
It was
a lot of blood?
It was your grandpa that bought the rumors of your virginity?
Yeah. Also, I was supposed to be aborted, and my grandfather bribed my mother not to abort me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, wow. Their fourth child? When they were wealthy, they were going to abort that?
I was my mom's fourth child in like 7 years. So
how much did you have to pay your grandpa to tell you that?
It just leaked. He didn't tell me that. It just leaked eventually.
Did you eventually give him some money and be like, thanks, man, or take him to
dinner? No, but last night I said to him, it was his birthday last time we went out, and I said, I owe you my life in so many ways.
One way being my life.
And that's exactly what he said. He goes, I can think of one way.
Wow.
You already knew.
Yeah, okay. We know.
That wasn't the way he broke it.
But I'm not taking it personally. My mom didn't know me yet, and so she wanted to abort me.
Yeah, you're just a statistic. You're just like, eh, another one. Do I want another one?
So, yeah.
My dad wanted my mom to have an abortion.
Really?
I sell my vote to my grandfather. Like, when I vote for, like, the president, I just sell it to him.
I wanted my kids, my parents. Really?
Yeah.
Sell them the vote. Like, what do you want me to vote? How much do you sell to him for?
I don't take that much. Like, $50.
Too much. Your vote doesn't count.
Yeah.
He wants it. I vote Republican on every single thing ever, all the time, because of him.
One extra vote does not make a difference.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's why I don't care. It's California. Yeah. It's not going to matter.
Yeah.
Can they always win. Wait. Democrat. You're selling some guy your vote? I'll drop my number to him.
I'll sell my vote.
For $50, I will go vote.
Yeah.
I don't vote because I don't think it matters and I don't fucking care. But $50 for the day, I'll go down there. Wait, do I have to register first?
Do you know how happy we'd be to turn three Democrats voting Republican? That's a big deal for him.
Oh, yeah. $150. Let's do this.
Let's raise this price a little here.
Oh, yeah. How much can we get?
This is really interesting. I'm surprised I've never even heard of this before.
Yeah, who would buy my vote?
There should be websites where that just collects people that don't care.
I'm sure it's a little illegal.
That's true.
No, because most people don't vote, right?
And by the way, I mean, how could it be illegal because you vote for like what you want? So if somebody pays you and then you want them, like that seems
yeah,
like
you probably have be to, perfectly legal. You have to do legal. What they do with scalpers. Like, here's this hat. And two bonus tickets for $800 total.
No, it's got to be illegal. That's like saying prostitution isn't illegal because it's just sex, and sex is legal. You're just giving someone the money.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah. It probably is illegal to buy a vote. That's probably one of the first 10 or 12 laws. Totally. Like, hey, we're going to have democracy. Can't people just buy a vote? Oh, okay, make a law. Make a law, no doing
Ted
that.
Turner was saying how he was talking about population control.
Uh-huh.
And he thinks that we should only be, I think, allowed one baby. I don't remember the exact
ZPG,
number.
ZPG, man.
But he thinks you should be able to sell your right to make a baby to someone else. So if you don't want to make a baby, but you have your state-given right to make one baby, you can sell that right to someone else.
I believe that. I believe we should go 2 max. Everyone should get 2 max. And with early death, that will allow for the population to come down slowly. We're outmining our resources.
Yeah, but the thing is why...
Is that a quick Photoshop you just did, or is that old?
Huh? I just did.
That's amazing.
But why...
You look so pale and gross, but nice titties, man.
Why'd you do that? What? Can they see this right now?
Yeah. He looks like an old Jew lady. Like, who's like middle age.
You put blush on me?
Yeah, just a little on your apples.
It's a really nice tits, Benji.
I think I'd be a pretty girl. I know my daughter's going to be pretty.
I just did a quick stupid one.
So what were you saying?
Well, the problem with that is that all the stupid people breed uncontrollably, and then the smart
illegal.
People...
Make it a law. 2 max.
We want more Americans to make babies because everyone else making babies are retarded.
The whole world's got to get on board. China does. 2 max.
All right.
2 max.
Arabs are breeding faster than we are.
Let them breed.
Yes.
So we can nuke them all together.
It's more Arabs, just more for the death pole.
Yeah.
I like Arabs, I'm just saying. You guys breed faster.
Yeah. I've never seen them kill people.
I don't think there's any Arabs listening to this, by the way.
Yeah, there are. Of course there are.
There are. I must have a couple. At least take notes for hatred.
Okay.
Nobody I like everybody. Yeah, Mexican, I'm sorry maybe. Everyone fights all the time.
Yeah, there's nobody really cares. So tell us another story of your sheltered life.
Another sheltered upbringing. Story of my sheltered life.
Like your house, by the way. Your house is amazing. And the fact that you don't pay for it is fun as shit. That's awesome.
Oh, I've lived in like houses of old famous people. So you get these letters. Like I used to live in Eddie Murphy's old house. Uh-huh. So you get these letters from really poor people asking Eddie Murphy for money. And I used to read them.
Just for money. Straight money.
Yeah, they'd be like, we loved you in this and that. Please send us money. And then right now I live in a rock star's old house. So I got another one of those. Like a letter where it's like, someone just left it on my floor mat where it's like, hey man, it's Wolfgang. I have some really good ideas on how to make money with me. Like, give me a call. And it's just like you get really desperate people trying to contact these people.
Do you worry at all about how much you should treat your friends to like lunch and stuff? Do you say, like, I don't want to do too much, but also want to do it occasionally because like they need money. They don't have anything.
Yeah, that's interesting. I do try to pay for my friends sometimes, but you don't want to do it too much because it can also be like a dominance thing where it's like, oh, mm-hmm. guess what? I'm the big man. I pay for you all the time. Yeah. So it's like, even if you're trying to do something nice, you do want to be careful because you don't want to, especially if you're dealing with another man, you don't want to be like, who's got the big dick? I'm paying. So
yeah,
I try to be generous when I can, but you don't want to do it too much.
Yeah. Like at your parties, you're like, yeah, we'll just go get some food. It's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to be doing too much. That must be an issue. I don't really think about that. I will occasionally treat people, but it's like,
sometimes people I think want to treat me because they know I have more money mm-hmm. than them. They're like, well, I can treat you. What do you think I can't? And then it's like, okay, I'm going to let you treat me. And it's like, you don't want to be selfish, but when at the same time, if someone wants to do something for you, you should let them.
Yeah, my aunt always said that. So if somebody holds a door, you fucking let them hold the door for you. You don't say, exactly. No, I can do it myself.
If someone wants to lease you a BMW, yeah. You let them lease you a BMW. I'm not a bad person.
When I started hanging out with Joe Rogan, he had like money, you know? So he like, I think he all took us out to eat at the Standard one night after the Comedy Store. And then like the next time, we were going to like to Carney's or something, and I could afford. So I was like, oh, I'll pay for it. He goes, no, you don't have to. I was like, no, I want to. You paid the last, probably the last two times somewhere else. And I was like, no, it's, you know, because I didn't want to feel like an asshole, you know, always just asking for stuff. And he's like, all right, if you want to, you know, I like put my foot down. He's like, if you want, you can, it's fine. And so I paid, and he's like, oh, thank you very much. He goes, just so you know, though, when I pay for you, it's not like a dominance thing at all. It's like this meal, according to our salaries, this would cost like a quarter to me. So,
right.
And it probably costs you like, I don't know, like a half day or a quarter day. It's like just easier that way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. That's cool that he puts it that clearly.
Yeah.
It's good, like, communication.
Right. Next time you fucking pay, man. Like, it made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it must be a hard thing where it's like, are these people going to, and then if people start expecting it, like if you get somebody a ride home the next week, they want that fucking ride home, and they call right. you an asshole for not giving it to them.
Yeah, you got to be careful with chicks. Chicks are usually have to be. Dudes aren't really a
problem.
Yeah,
it's really, it all really comes down to that other person.
It's chicks. You
know? Yeah, chicks. Because
people are,
they start expecting it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Chicks you got to be too careful much. With. Because you also just love chicks. You don't think clearly if there's a hot chick, but she's just trying to get you to pay for shit.
That would, at one point in my life, that would have been my biggest vice. When I had these dreams of like, if I had a lot of money, I've stopped having those dreams in the last 5 years when I realized, oh, that's never going to happen. But like, if I had a lot of money, it would like, my one vice wouldn't be drugs or anything like that. It would be chicks.
Buying like, them shit or just?
Buying them shit, just like spending money on chicks.
Yeah, you got to be careful, man.
Yeah. Drugs I would be able to handle.
Yeah, if I had a ton of money, I think I'd just get super healthy. I'd get a personal trainer and go on vacations. Start a production company.
Yeah.
What would you do, Tony?
Yeah, just about the same thing. I'd make a bunch of oh god, the worst press ever. That's hilarious. The Wunderkind of the Sunset Strip. No, I'd just shoot all the internet videos that I wanted to shoot this whole time and just, you know, do everything.
As long as we have you on here, we should say this. That when Tony started the Comedy Store, he did an interview for the Youngstown
press. I was promoting here's what happened.
Are they seeing this right now?
No, I'm gonna put it up though.
Here's what happened. Yeah. Is that I was promoting a show back home in Youngstown uh-huh. 6 months after starting comedy.
Yeah.
And I wanted the guy to do a write up in the newspaper. Not like a write up, but like a mention that there was a show going on.
Right.
So people would come see the show. Mm-hmm, right. Sure. And hopefully I could pay for my trip uh-huh. with people for some reason that would want to come see me do comedy. Now anyway, which is great, and it ended up packing up, but it packed up because the guy that I was talking to, trying to convince him to write me into the even
you had to
thing,
talk your shit up.
Was recording the entire time And so he just wrote down all the bullshit Tony that I said to him.
Tony took so much shit for this. Oh, the last probably 2 years.
There was an I don't know if they explained it well. There was an article out there.
I'm not
going
to read the details.
Oh, okay, go.
Yeah, and then so this is how much shit they gave because of quotes like this. I started out 6 months ago by signing up for an open mic night, said Hinchcliffe, calling from West Hollywood. They asked me to come back, and now I'm performing all over Los Angeles. The Comedy Store main room, the Improv, the Laugh Factory. I'm a quick success out here.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
So everyone made fun of Tony. Yeah. They got a hold of this article.
They posted it on the poster board of the Comedy Store, which is just a hate board.
Because Tony wasn't a quick success.
No, that's why
it's not. Nobody is. There's no such thing as this with anybody. So it's like so absurd. Every time I look at it, as I grow older into comedy, I'm more embarrassed that this ever happened. It's like every time.
It's super funny because Tony has always been very confident.
Yeah.
So it was just funny to poke at him for
and this is just way over the top. I can't even take my eyes off the line. I'm a quick success out here.
There are companies
the
that can...
The Wunderkind of the Sunset Strip said he's jumping...
I love that. It's almost like this guy... I feel like the guy that wrote this article in Youngstown was like a comedian that hated me at the Comedy Store. Just the whole thing looks horrible.
To get you in trouble. Didn't you say you're going to be on Saturday Live within a year or two or something?
Not at all. I mean, they may have said that, but I know
why. Was that quote in there? I forget now.
There was something about me wanting to be on... one of my goals. Oh yeah, one of the Ursuline grad's goals to be on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, very good.
It's hilarious.
They liked me, even though it was my first night. They said I'm better than some people who've been doing this for 10 years.
That is true, Ryan. And I've never say that night. He was the host. Oh. You can quote him on that.
That's true. But now you realize that's the thing. Quote's misleading.
That's the thing. Like so many other comedian stories, the first night that I ever did comedy, crushed. Yeah. No, it was unbelievable, and I was just in full connection. And then I've spent the last 3.5 years trying to figure out how I did it that night.
You know, dragon. Jimmy Pidd said the exact same thing to me. He crushed his first time.
Damon Wayans said that, because you start off, you crush, and then you don't know what you're doing. And then you start learning what you're doing, and then suddenly you start failing left and right. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah,
I'm learning more now.
Learning the why things work can really psych you out.
I did well my first time, too. I wouldn't say I crushed, but I think I did pretty
good. Also, you prepare for, like, 6 months to a year.
Yeah, I was probably prepared right, you know? For, like,
yeah, exactly.
Time.
As opposed to, like, Ari, they brought you up. Oh, fuck. Put out your cigarette and run inside.
Yeah, I did prepare for a really, really long time.
Yeah, that's so true. For 3 minutes.
That's why I hate these people who just start because they have nothing else to do.
That's what everyone starts for.
Oh, it's retarded. I put so much prep time into this. Yeah. And they just start because they're here. And all the people who hang out at the store who are just hanging out are tards.
I never agree with that. Capri used to say that. I wanted to be a comic forever, but Tripoli, he just started to want to be a comic. Like, what's the fucking difference? It's not like you did any training or anything. You wanted since you were 12. That guy wanted to be a firefighter, and then he changed his mind. Who cares? God, I get fucking Jewy when I get angry sometimes. Brian, when you grew up, how did you feel about people like in Benji's wealth category?
I was friends with him because I was no dummy.
You're like, it's more fun.
I was like, hey, I'm going to Kiwa Island with my friend's family because they do that every year.
Wow.
And so I'm sorry, poor friends on this side. I am hanging out with this rich dude.
Yeah. Instead of not building character, it's like, how about seeing parts of Hawaii when you're 12?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that build more character than playing football for the 95th time in the yard between their two houses? Or you don't even have yards wherever they're fucking... backyard of your tenement is.
A lot of haters, man. A lot of haters.
Yeah. I'm not one of them. Like, you and I were friends long before, and I'm one of those guys that doesn't make friends with almost anybody.
Yeah, people hated both of you guys.
Yeah, we... Who well, did? Up until
people,
this day.
A lot of people hated both of you.
Yeah, a lot of people hate us.
It's weird. I'm like, he's got that... We both have a lot of confidence.
You seem like confident. You're talking down to people, really, and you constantly judge people.
Yeah.
For the people on audio, Benji...
You should get that flyer up.
Down to people.
Everyone hates us.
Oh, yeah. Do you have that?
There's a flyer.
A guy made a flyer advertising his open mic, and on his flyer are pictures of me and Tony, and it says next to it, these guys will not be hosting
the
our show.
The whole 10% of the flyer based on hating is us. His show. 10% of it is his show and the address and the time and everything. 90% of it is me and Benji's faces and just insulting us that we're the meanest people in the world.
And that we're not funny and that we won't be at the show.
I feel like when I was hosting the open mic, I started when Bob Oshak was hosting. He was super friendly and nice and like he rewarded people. It was somebody's first time on stage. He was like, was that your first time? So wait there for 1 second. He goes, guys, that was his first time on stage. How about we bring him out here for another bow? And they would come back. It would feel awesome. It would just feel awesome all the time. And then Bobby and Sergio did it too, and they were pretty friendly. And I was like, no, I'm just gonna make fun of them. If everyone knew they sucked, I'm gonna make fun of them.
Right.
But you guys have taken it to this to another level of just hatred and anger.
I don't go for hatred, and I don't go for anger. I'm just trying to be honest, and I'm trying to connect with the audience.
Exactly.
But I'm not focused on appealing to open mic comedians.
But they pick out the names now. When I was doing it, it was just whoever signed up, luck of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of homeless people.
Well, usually it's the first, the first 10 comics are pretty new because even though they're picking them, they're,
only picking out from a certain group of people. Right. Top
They go, the new names sort of make it to the top. And that's usually the times in which they would probably say we're the meanest. But in all reality, it's like these people are going out in front of one audience member or zero audience members.
It's impossible.
And they are floating out these jokes that comics aren't going to think are funny.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you doing with your time? Why not even just not do the spot rather than just hack it up? Like, if you think I'm not going to come up there and just say that's, well.
Yeah, but right. Somebody told me that once. Eric Moneypenny was like, I don't want to go up there anymore because you're going to make fun of me. I'm like, I'm going to make fun of you whether you do well or badly.
Right.
So that shouldn't matter. I know I'm friends with you. I just go up and then I'll just mock your pants or something, or I'll make fun of your ex-girlfriend.
They take it so personally. Yeah. And I'm so nice to everybody. Off stage, I'm the nicest guy, but they all hate
Relax,
me.
Relax, the nicest guy.
They all hate me because of what I do on stage.
Yeah, you know what's funny is actually the guy that made the flyer, I hadn't seen the flyer, I hadn't walked by it yet, but he had just put them out on the patio, and as I was walking by, I had just gotten a coffee, I walk by, and I go, hey, what's up, man, how you doing? You know, that type of thing.
And then you felt weird when you saw it, and you're like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah. I didn't know it was him. Oh. When I first saw it, I read it. I'm like, what the fuck? This is hilarious. This is great. And then somebody told me who it was. I'm like, wow, I just said hi to that guy. I bet that's fucking with him right now. Like, it was a very nice hello.
Yeah.
Do you know where this flyer is at?
They're all over.
No.
It was on some people.
There's one on my Twitter page. You can check my Twitter log.
Brian, have you done the open mic at the Comedy Store?
twice.
You should do that more often. It's like a good real room because there is a real audience if you can go up and like later.
Yeah,
when I have a brand new thing I want to work out, like a story that's not going to go, I'll try, but they don't ever fucking put me on early. I just want to go part of the open mic night.
I mean, the early parts is when the host, like, I think me and Benji both have a thing to where the open mic part of the show is really fun before it switches over into the, getting better, because you can have fun with those bad situations. And if the host can make jokes about it and keep it like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then it can be a lot of fun.
If someone goes on stage and sucks and you're hosting, and after they suck you go up on stage and you're like, oh man, that was great, let's hear another great comedian, they're gonna be like, oh my god, this
after
sucks.
You said that nine straight times, like, yeah, guys, like, this next guy's awesome, and they're like, we don't believe you, we don't like you.
Yeah, they're gonna turn on me. I need to be honest with them.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like what you said, there'll be complete people who are completely anonymous to you who hate you. It's like, I don't even know who you are, and they like all the, like, it's someone you'll go up to and say, oh, hey, how you doing? But meanwhile, they hate you.
I had some, whenever somebody tells me, like, from, like, 10 years before, they're like, you were my first host in L.A. I was like, was I a complete dick or did I give you a lot of help? One or the other. And they're like, oh, you told me where the open mics were to go to. I'm like, okay. Or they're like, yeah, you made me quit for, like, 3 years. One lady, some black lady, I don't remember what I said. I always say something innocuous, just real fast, get the show moving. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, you mumbled so bad, I can barely understand. Something like that. Even though I do it. Whatever, it just doesn't matter. But, like, she came up to me after, she goes, I don't know who you are, but let me just tell you this. I am going to make it. And people can say whatever you want, but I am going to make it. Okay? And you can't hold me back. I'm like, hey, more power to you. But then I was like, just in my Jew logic, I was like, but statistically. I mean, the odds are so far against it. And everyone thinks they're going to make it. I mean, no one comes here thinking they're going to fail. So, I mean, what separates you from everyone else? You might make it, but not that you would know. And she's like, how dare you tell me? And I'm like, all right, whatever.
I had one guy who was like, hey, I'm a headliner. That was his defense.
Headliner?
I'm a headliner. You can't talk to me like that.
You can talk to anybody however you want, and they can walk away.
Yeah.
If they don't like it, then they can just walk away.
If he's a headliner that's signing up for the open mic, then he's a really shitty networker.
We got off subject about the wealth and the poverty, but I think we covered it. Do you have any more stories about your super wealth?
I watched that show, Undercover Millionaire, and that's retarded. It's the same thing. Of making poor people feel good about watching...
About their lives and how you can learn. Yeah. Here's what I got from them.
Oh, the rich guy's going to break down and cry because he's going to realize how hard it is to live like me. I can't wait for that to happen. Wouldn't it be great if my rich boss was doing what I had to do he had to learn what it was like because he's so dumb?
I think that's what I've learned more than anything from this conversation right now is that we end up really glorifying hardships when the reality is we hate the hardships.
It's a Jesus complex. Everyone has a sacrifice complex. How glorious our sacrifices are. They're not that glorious.
And then you apologize for having things easy. And there's no point to that.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in that. I mean, I've been poor as hell the whole time, everything, and it's just been the worst struggle ever because I don't want to work, and I just want to do comedy and stuff, and it's been extremely hard to do that. And I don't really complain, you know what I mean? Like, you guys know how poor I am because we're close friends, but it's like...
You live in a studio apartment.
So I totally believe, I'm like with Benji on the thought that a lot of rich people get it really bad. I'm with us. I mean, I guess we all just agreed on it, but it's like... I'm with that too, and I'm even the poor guy.
You so do, right?
Like,
you live in a studio with another guy?
Four people, don't you?
No, it's two.
Two people. Yeah. Two other?
No, no, you, it's just me guy. And Sean.
Oh. Do you have a you don't have like a curtain that you...
No, it's... We rock and roll, man. It's very easy. You know, we just
hang out with your dicks out.
Have you ever? Exactly. Have you ever?
Laugh
good.
Very hard all
just
the time.
Beds on separate sides of the room.
Yeah.
But just like a dorm room.
Yeah.
Oh, like a dorm room. That's not that bad.
At all. At all. Especially when you factor in that we're just laughing.
With a kitchen.
We're either laughing or sleeping. Or not there. I mean, neither me nor Sean watch a lot of TV, hang out. We both get out, we write, we start our day immediately. Yeah. Like, I don't ever spend any time at home.
It's definitely more social.
And no matter where I've always lived out here, it's been that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you at all considering, or when you get in your first fight, would you at all consider taking some sort of paint can or whiteout and whiting out a line straight down the middle of the apartment so that one side is his and one side is yours?
No.
You've never thought
about that? We've thought about actually putting up video cameras and, videotaping it like a reality show.
Quick question about this horrible way to live.
Mm-hmm.
What's the masturbation situation? How do you take care of that?
It's pretty easy. I you know that hole in the bottom of the shower where the water drains out of?
You shower beat.
Hell yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Everybody hates me. Everyone's tweeting at me that they hate me.
But see, that's missing the point.
Oh, of course.
They hate you because you've given things.
Someone wants me to get farted on. Someone says I'm boring. Someone says Richie Rich was so L.A. and so uninteresting. Well, guess what? I'm from L.A. What do you want me to be? You want me to be Arkansas?
Yeah, they still are angry at you for having what they don't have.
I'm so uninteresting.
I was for a long time. I get it.
Like, why don't you tweet me an interesting question instead of trying to put me down, you fucking losers?
Yeah.
Easy. This is why people don't like you. It's always in the attack. Instead of trying to convert their way of thinking, you're just screaming.
I spoke.
This is why Madrigal hates you.
I don't think he hates me anymore.
I think he still. We have conversations constantly about it, and he constantly. We've never. Never. I only heard he hated you. I've never even talked about it with him. All right. Well, I think we learned a little something.
Yep.
Perhaps that people are still not going to be swayed, but the few who are going to say, you know what? Rich people are humans too, and maybe some rich people who are listening on your brand new iPods. We'll look at poor people and say, well, there are people too. I honestly, something I hate about myself is when I'm checking out like a Pink Dot or any sort of clerk situation, I don't look them in the eye. I just look down at my stuff. I'm like, oh, thanks. And I just don't. Mm-hmm. I look at their chest to see their name tag maybe. And I realize why I don't look at them in the eye is because somewhere in my head, I believe that I'm better than them.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't have to make eye contact with someone who's beneath me. I don't like the fact that I think that, but I do in a certain way. If that's I really think about it, I realize you're people. But
you're a comedian. You can take that interaction and turn it into laughter for them if you really wanted to. And mm-hmm. Instead, you don't even look at them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the asshole.
Yeah. Sometimes it's because people are annoying. There's some cool clerks, and I'll fucking joke around with them. But normally, also, I'm a sort of I'm a loner, so I don't even want to make any connection with people. I think it's like that, too. But yeah, you are an asshole. All right.
But assholes can be rich and poor.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't really know me or else they'd be calling me an asshole.
Poor people are not all unhappy.
No. No.
God, we all want to believe that's true. You know, most people who win the lottery are very unhappy.
And, they say
more money, more problems.
Back. And they say ignorance is... Well, I disagree with that mentality completely.
I do. I agree with it. Here's why. If I don't have a lot of money, I will go to the supermarket and like, oh, what can I buy? Fuck, what can I afford? You know, there were times when I looked at the food, not for price per ounce, but price per calorie. I do the breakdown. But like, if you're richer, you're like, oh, what 7 new Xbox games do I get today? Do I get these 7 brand new Xbox games or this 7?
Right.
That's another problem.
Most rich people are thinking
but
about
you don't
how
have
to get
the problem
rich.
Of the other thing anymore.
Oh, yeah, so good
it's
point.
More problems,
it's
the
more money, different
problems.
Yeah, good point. Brian, at some point you got to get yourself a huge thing and just be ready to go with sound effects.
I'm building it every day.
Oh, that'd be a more articulate hip hop song. More money, different problems.
Yeah, more money, different.
More money, things are different, but I'm okay. I mean, yeah, it's still
obviously problems are still the same, but
with the poor people being able to be happy thing, you know, I think that they say that ignorance is bliss, but I think that ignorance is bliss also affects rich people too, because maybe they just have so much money and just been buying stuff and doing things or whatever that maybe they never found the inner artist like Benji did. You know, he lives his passion doing stand-up comedy at night, and there's not a lot of really rich people that come from really rich situations that do that.
Yeah, but like Grant Hill, he made it to the NBA and he grew up rich. You don't have to fucking play basketball in the hood.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You could figure out another way to be good at something.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's hard to do.
And that's also, it's like ignorance is bliss. It's also blissful to be ignorant of the super poor while you're rich.
Right.
Because otherwise, like, ugh, it's horrible. You don't want to think about it.
No, you want to take advantage of them and profit from them.
Well, that's why people don't like looking at homeless people. It's like, ugh. And my idea is the money you give to a homeless guy, the quarter, the dollar, whatever it is the exact amount of money that will take you to, at that moment, not feel like you're part of the problem. Here's a quarter. Okay, and then I could feel like I'm a good person for a little bit until I see another homeless guy. If you see too many, you're like, oh, I can't afford this. But that's whatever you give. And I realize I'm not part of the problem, so I give nothing.
Is there anything that you ever buy or do in which you feel a little like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't be getting this? Money-wise?
Oh, yeah. Like, are there any worries about money? Like, I shouldn't get this.
Dude, yeah. I mean, I don't have a regular job. I want to go on vacations. What, are you asking me, like...
Oh, serious question.
Like what do I want that I don't have, or what do I have that I feel bad about?
What do you get
about?
That you sort of feel good? Like, do you ever get, like, a weekly massage or something like that? Or?
Lately, I feel guilty that I'm unemployed is really the only thing that makes me feel bad.
But that's
bad.
Just because you're not... Being
like
part
the,
of
you say there's like Mexicans working across the street and I'm pulling into my garage in like a 1968 muscle car and I feel bad about myself a little sometimes.
So, but there are some times where you're like, I want to get this. I want to have a vacation, but I can't afford this right now. You have had that.
All the time. I want to go on vacation right now. I have no, all my friends are too poor to vacation with me and it's.
That's what we're talking about. Same kind of problems.
Yeah. Like, do you want to go to Costa Rica with me this month?
No, I can't afford that.
Okay. Well, see, there you go.
I'm also, yeah.
Does anyone here want to go to
Costa Rica with you this month? All right. That's the show, everybody. thank you very much for tuning in. Skip and Take. The next view I'm going to think of getting is one, I want the guy who runs my dispensary to talk about pot. Gives like breakdowns of what you should be smelling for and looking at and stuff like that. See if I can. And then my friend, I want to interview a Scientologist about Scientology. Just what it's like. What the whole story is. But I have one friend, Binky, from Little Joy. And she won't. I don't think she wants to do it.
Larry King's a Scientologist.
I don't know Larry King. But they're all super well adjusted. I want to talk to them. And then the third one was, Brian, what are you doing? So suddenly going like that. Nice. And then the third one was, I forget what the third one was now. Oh, I know. People with eating disorders and mental problems. Anyway, all that shit coming up.
And we
thank
got
very much.
Binge on Twitter is Busy Binge and Tony.
Busy, yeah, I was saying Busy on Twitter if you want to follow us. It's Busy Binge.
Not with no I at the end. Who needs an O I?
BUSYBENJ. Tony Hinchcliffe is going to be the hardest one. Tony is normal. TONY. And then HINCHCLIFFE.
H plus inch, cliff plus E.
Inch plus H.
That's really, that's really cute.
What is it?
H plus inch, cliff plus E.
That's fucking fabulous. and I am Ari. Oh, Red Band is REDBAN. I'm Ari Shafir. Ari, ARISHAFFIR. And that is it. Check us out at deathsquad.tv. All these podcasts. Thank you guys for tuning in. Till the future and beyond.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you. That was really fun. Thank you. Thank you, Red Band, as well.